guys, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings number 86, episode 86. We're going with the Southern Draw, Firethorn, and Whiskey. Your ears are not deceiving you. This is Robbie Raz from Cigar Federation, sitting in for our conscious Canadian host. John is on assignment somewhere in the frozen tundra of Canada. It's frozen up there already, isn't it? I mean,
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's always frozen up there. It's like in the Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
like
they get three days in the summer, and that's it.
Yeah, and it's like, and the sun doesn't set for those 3 days or something like that, right? Yeah, it's some weird rules. So anyway, so John's on assignment, so I've got the fellas from Developing Palates here to join me, and we're going to wax poetic about some cigars and whiskey. June and Aaron, thanks for taking the time to hang out. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It was we put this all together rather quickly, so thank you for being flexible. It's funny, you guys live down the street from me, and this is the first time I've seen you guys in, I don't know, a couple months?
Yep.
Something like that? I mean, yep. June keeps trying to lure me over to his house with beer and all this stuff. And
you're too good for us, Rob, what can I say?
No, it was, you had to, I know you got a bunch of beer, and then I had to go on vacation. I had to go on vacation up to Portland, which was, I mean, it was just tough. You know. But anyway, hopefully I'll see you guys at the Halloween party. And Aaron, you cannot reuse last year's costume. You got to go with a new one.
Yep, I was afraid of that.
No, we're pretty strict, man. we've got a new theme this year and everything. It's going to be fun. So,
can I wear it? What'd you go last year as?
I was the Wolf Man.
You wore a Schmedium?
Yeah, actually, I did.
He had some pretty luxurious chest hair going on last year. It was Austin Powers-esque.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah, there's photos. We'll find them. Today we're going to talk about a little bit about the Southern Draw Firethorn. Now this is you guys are going to have to help me on this one. It's Code Duelo. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I'd say Code Duelo or something like that.
Code Duelo, not Code.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's whatever. And they actually come in a little two pack, and I'll show you guys. The one that I have here, this makes for good radio, by the way. I'll put the cigar down. This one actually is the Kudzu, but I'll show it to you guys just so you can see the packaging, how the cigars, they come in a little two-pack there. You can see they're wrapped together. And that's the Code Duelo. Is that backwards? I don't know. You guys can read it.
Yep.
And that's Code Duello. I have no idea what that means. Do either of you know what that means?
Well, the concept behind it is in regards to a duel. So as if, you know, two people were going to
Burr?
Face off. Yeah, exactly. But the goal of this is that the two people would share a cigar. That's why they come as a pair, and they can, you know, settle their differences over a cigar and good conversation.
So it's like a cigar date, kind of.
Yeah, right.
See, you'd say duel, I say date. That just means I'm a more positive person than you, I think.
You're romantic.
I am romantic. And actually, when I say Aaron Burr, you know, the only reason I know who Aaron Burr is?
It's from the peanut butter milk commercial.
The milk commercial. Exactly. Yep. That's the only reason that I know. That's funny. Yeah, you went right to it too. So I'm not the only one. That's okay. So that's actually kind of cool. I didn't know that. I've got the specs and everything pulled up here from, CigarCoop.com, cigar-coop.com. All right, always, that's the first place I go to find out information about stuff, especially when I don't already know it. So I go for that. I'm smoking the 6x58, or sorry, 6x56. You guys are smoking the 5x58. So it comes in a couple of different sizes, and they're definitely, it's an interesting size. It's got what's the Figurado, right? Call it a Figurado?
Yeah.
I never really know what to call these funky sizes like this. I mean, this is a pretty standard Figurado, actually. I mean, it's box pressed, lightly box pressed, but beyond that, it's got that that obvious classic Figurado shape. But sometimes, I just don't know what to call stuff these days. So the blend here, it's a double Rosado Perfecto semi box press, and it provides a sophisticated and smooth medium body. It's basically it's the same blend as the original Firethorn, which I know we've featured on the show here before. So we don't have to spend a whole lot of time. I've smoked this cigar before. I don't think we did a review of it. I did smoke it. I just one day while I was at work, because they came in a two-pack, I smoked one of them, and I really, really liked it. Smooth, a lot of richness, not a lot of spice. not too strong, right in my wheelhouse, that medium flavor, medium strength, but with just a lot going on, a lot of complexity. Have you guys smoked this one already?
No, this is the first time.
First time. Breaking it in. June, you haven't smoked it either. You're shaking your head. You can't shake your head on radio, man.
Oh, my bad. No, I have not smoked this cigar.
Where are you at home?
Yeah, man. I'm in the backyard.
It looks like your weather's nicer than mine.
Yeah. And I got so much good beer here, but you're too good to come over here, remember?
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm making some beer.
I can't say bad words yet, right?
Not yet. Not yet. I'll let you know when you can, because we are broadcasting the Armed Forces Radio Network, which I don't think I said earlier. Broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. So thank you for tuning in. And the this episode of Sharing Our Pairings is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, the makers, the manufacturers of the world's finest cigars. You have to try the new 93 rated Heritage today at your local shop. Most local shops carry Gurkha. I think every store I've ever been into has Gurkha. But I haven't smoked a ton of Gurkha. I did smoke the Heritage Maduro, and it's actually a pretty nice cigar. I think they run in like the 8 or 9 price point. I think Gurkha gets a bad rap sometimes. But there's, I think they have 7,000 different blends or something like that.
They've got a blend for everybody, literally everybody.
So, yeah, like literally every person.
Yes.
Whether you're a cigar smoker or not, but you're bound to find something in there that's pretty good. Like I said, that Heritage Maduro was pretty good. And I've had some of the Cellar Reserve. I think just the original Cellar Reserve. I don't know what year that was, the 12 or something like that. They've got the 19 and the 20 and all that. Those are supposed to be pretty good too. But today we're going to pair up this Firethorn, like I said, and we've each got a couple of different whiskeys. And it turns out that Aaron and I have, we overlapped on one of the whiskeys here because June was the one who turned me onto it. And he probably turned you onto it too, I guess.
Correct.
And did he make you go out to Lunardi's to buy yours as well?
No, he brought it over for my birthday party that you also were too good to attend. Oh, but, you know.
Damn. I keep digging. Hey, I was on a plane.
You were
whatever.
Invited to, you know, calm down from your travels at
my
house.
Wait a second. Let's if we're going to really get into this, you invited me to your birthday party. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
And you said, which of these dates is going to work for you? Because you said there was two different dates, potential. And I said, well, this one will work. This other one, I'm on vacation. Well, yeah. Too bad. We're picking the one where you're on vacation. What do you expect me to do?
Well, I mean, the other one was on a holiday weekend. So that was going to be bad for all the people that had families. So
yeah, that's true.
It was just a majority, kind of a majority decision. Yeah.
Holiday weekends and such. I think that was actually my the weekend of my anniversary.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I was willing to forego the anniversary for your birthday party. Anyway,
I'll keep it in wraps. I won't tell your wife.
Copy that. Yeah. Well, but we can move forward. Nobody tuned in to hear this. So I'm just going to jump in with my first pairing. And I don't know, Aaron, you're probably going to do this one first, too.
Yeah.
It's the Old Weller Antique Original 107 brand. And this is the kind of bottle of whiskey that I would walk right past in the store. I wouldn't look at it twice. It just, and maybe I'm a bit of an elitist. Maybe I'm just too easily swayed one direction or another. But, I mean, it's just the label's fine. It doesn't catch my eye. It's got the plastic screw top on there, which is, mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest, a turnoff for me. It's just, that's not really, that's, I don't know. I guess I'm just an elitist. I'm a snob when it comes to my booze. But June told me to pick up a bottle, so I ran out to Lunardi's and picked a bottle up.
Speaking of which, Rob, you know, you're talking about the presentation of that.
Yeah.
So Buffalo Trace decided to revamp the packaging.
Hmm.
Yeah. So they're going to roll out the new packaging really soon, and it looks like, you know, legit printing instead of some sticker that just slapped on there.
And it does it still have the plastic cap?
No, I think they're doing cork now.
Boom. See?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Evan Williams as well recently. So,
you know, I've never had Evan Williams, and I think they come out of the same distillery, right? Comes out of Buffalo Trace?
That I'm not sure.
I actually have Buffalo Trace pulled up right here, and I can tell you that Evan Williams does not come out of Buffalo Trace. But a buddy of mine moved to Kentucky, just on the other side of the river from Cincinnati. And he kept telling me that the bourbon that he was, and he's a bourbon guy, that the bourbon that he was drinking was the Evan Williams, And I don't know if it's like small batch or single barrel or whatever the hell, but it's got the black wax on the top.
Yeah.
Oh, single barrel. And a single, and it's like 28, 29 bucks a bottle, something like that.
Yeah.
But he said it was great. I've never had it, but yeah, he said that that was really good. And they happened to be sponsoring this thing on the MLB network when they were talking about upcoming wild card games. So Evan Williams was actually on my mind, even though I'm not drinking it tonight.
Your nearby Costco has that, by the way.
Oh, do they? Mm-hmm. Have you been to my nearby Costco lately?
Yes, I went there yesterday.
Do they have the Stone IPA, the Halloween?
Oh, the Citricado?
The drink by, enjoy by. Oh,
no, they didn't have that. But I did pick up this. I know this is a beer show, but
yeah, whatever.
The Citricado, have you had that one? That's their 20th anniversary IPA. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Is it really? I don't think I've had that one.
Yeah, a lot of citrus, and they put this like avocado flour honey, whatever the hell that is. But it was,
you know,
good.
It's funny. I picked that bottle up at Safeway yesterday. They just built a new Safeway down the street from me too, and it's huge. It's the biggest Safeway I've ever seen, and they have this huge beer section. It's gigantic, and then you go down to the end cap, and that's where they have all their bombers. And I was looking to see if they had that the Enjoy by Halloween, which is a tangerine IPA.
Oh, nice.
And I saw that one, and I picked it up, and I read it, and it said avocado, and I put it right back down.
That's the best thing. I would have bought it on spot just from having avocado in it.
I said avocado. You got to be kidding. But it's avocado flour, whatever the hell that means. I don't know, but it's good. I'll have to check it out. That's good to know. Gonna digress back to this the W.L. Weller old Weller Antique. Just some info here. It actually doesn't even give me the ABV. All the information they have on this website, and they don't tell me how strong it is.
107 proof, yeah.
It's a 53.5% ABV. I don't know what that is for. John says something about freedom units or gallons or something. I don't know, but we'll just go with ABV. It's a wheated bourbon with a full-bodied flavor and at a balanced palate. I like balance. Old Weller Antique is bottled at 107. Well, it's 107 proof. Old 107, I should have.
Yeah.
Duh. Just divide by two. I'm really good at math, too. it offers a complex taste and bold finish. Now, I picked this up, like I said. Oh, it won the 2016 gold medal New York World Wine and Spirits Competition. Wow. That's pretty good. Gold medal for a $26 bottle of booze. And apparently, this isn't that easy to find.
No.
It'll get harder and harder to find. So if you see more and you like it, grab them all up.
Yeah, the word got out on it. So.
No.
Yeah, I had actually never heard of it until June mentioned it. And then I looked it up and I realized, wow, it's like, this is not that easy to find. And that's kind of weird. I've never really understood that. How could it be? It's a pretty good bottle of bourbon. It's relatively inexpensive. Why is it so hard to find?
I don't know. The bourbon fans are, I don't understand what made so many bourbon fans, honestly. Like, what's your take on it? I mean, all of a sudden, bourbon just started blowing up, and everyone's just buying everything under the sun.
The bourbon resurgence?
Yeah.
The whiskey resurgence?
I don't get it.
A lot of people blame Mad Men. Huh. I don't know. I'll say this. Every time I watched Mad Men, or if I watched what was the one where they were British, and it was a long time ago, with the people who lived down in the basement who cleaned the house? Why can't I think of the name?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It was like the
PBS.
PBS series.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah, yes.
Like the gigantic show just ended. But every time that he would pour, like he's pouring whiskey or something, I'm like, oh man, I got to have a whiskey. So maybe really that really is it. And I'm just that suggestible. I mean, for me, whiskey, the whiskey infatuation probably started, I don't know, 10 years ago, I guess. I mean, how old am I? 39. So yeah, about 10 years ago was when I figured out what I was doing, and I stopped ordering like purple Hooters and stuff. And no, for me, and I've told this story before, so I'll tell the abridged version. I started a new job, so I was on, I was traveling, and they were paying for everything. And then after, they pay for your dinner and everything. It was really nice. And then after hours, you go out to the bar, or whatever, with all the same people who are there for the training. And I was in between jobs before I started that one. So I didn't have a ton of expendable cash. I hadn't been paid yet. So, and we were going out like every night. So the first night I just ordered, Makers on the rocks, and I would just kind of sip that all night. And it always looked like I had a full drink and I wasn't spending that much money. And then by the end of the night, I was feeling just as good as everybody else. And then I started to like it. And that was pretty much how it started for me. But yeah, I don't know. I've never really done any kind of research into the whiskey resurgence.
Yeah. It's just like, it hikes up all the pricing big time, right? Like there's all those new releases I've been wanting to get, but you know, in California around us, you basically have to be a big spender to, you know, get called for this stuff, or you pay extreme secondary prices for it. So like for instance, this Weller, that Weller 107 you guys are having, if you were to go to some of those secondary markets and sell it to U.S. people, you could get 3x the price.
Easily. Really?
Yeah.
So I could pick up a bottle for 26, and on the second, this is all theoretical, of course.
Yeah, like 80 to 90 bucks, flip it, easy.
Wow. I think I'm just going to start doing that, and I'll just retire. You know?
If you break it down into like small bottles, you even probably can really increase
like
that.
Like these. Like the little ones that John sent me.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Probably get 20 bucks a pop.
That's awesome. No, I can't say that I'm into bourbon the same way, June, that you are. When you start talking about new releases and things, I have no idea. I know that Pappy comes out every year at this time of year. And I think there's another, like an anniversary one that I saw somewhere, but that's it. Like, it's not like cigars or beer for me where it's like the new thing on the market. Like I have to go find it.
It's actually way easier for bourbon because I don't know how you keep up with the beer releases. Even if you're just looking at California, that is a ton of beer to keep up with.
Oh, there's a ton of stuff that I don't even know about. But if there's things that I'll see like on Instagram is really, that's where I get my shopping list from.
Yeah, for sure.
And I just found out today that Treehouse doesn't distribute their beer at all. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Terrence Riley from Casada, friend of the show, been on the show. He was just on a couple weeks ago. He was pairing an Oktoberfest with the Julius. And I've heard the Julius is fantastic.
No.
And I commented on the photo. I said, man, I've never tried anything from them. I have to try to track them down. And it developed into a conversation. And he's like, yeah, next time I'm out there, you know, maybe I'll see if I can grab some for you. Like, well, they don't. I was like, yeah, they don't. I can't get them out here. He's like, yeah, you can only get them at the brewery. And I'm like, what? Why would you do that?
Nah. You could get some really good stuff in like, so the whole New England IPA phase and like those really juicy hop bombs and the really big fruit forward ones.
Yeah.
You go to Cellar Maker and they make, you know, comparable New England style IPAs. I know a lot of the East Coast people don't agree with me, but
Cellar Maker's in San Francisco.
Right. You could go after a baseball game when you're working.
I went there with Matt Ross when he was in San Francisco. Anyway, we've gotten fully off topic, but that's all right. I mean, it's still on topic. But I think the thing for me, as far as bourbon is concerned, and whiskey, all different kinds of whiskeys. John is a huge whiskey guy. I mean, obviously, he gives me. We went to IPCPR, and I came home with like 25 of these. Now I couldn't, and these are the little samples that John gives me. I couldn't fill 10 of those with different whiskeys, let alone 25 every time that I see somebody. Mm-hmm. So I just don't have that type of collection. I don't dedicate that type of that portion of my budget. It's expensive. I mean, once you go down that rabbit hole, it gets pricey. So maybe it's better that I don't know about this whole new release and all this nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's better to stay away from that. So I won't ask you anything about them. But, so I'm going with the Old Weller. And I guess, Aaron, that's what you're having with your first pairing, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. June, what about you? What's your first pairing?
I'm starting off with the Yamazaki 18-year-old from Yamazaki Distillery, produced by Suntory. So, Japanese whiskey. I know you can't see this for the listeners, but I'm holding the bottle right now.
So, we've had... and I'm actually going with Japanese whiskey for my second pairing. We've had a lot of Japanese whiskey on this show, and it seems like even like our local Costco gets a lot of Japanese whiskey. They had a few there, and I can't remember the one that I was looking at. I think it was from Nika, but I can't remember which one it was. But they didn't have a price, so I didn't make the purchase. But I've noticed that their selection of whiskey, scotch, and Japanese whiskey has gotten pretty good.
Yeah.
They have some pretty good stuff. I mean, you're walking into Costco and you're, I mean, I've always expected to see the Johnny Walker Blue there for whatever reason, which I think is one of the most overpriced and overrated whiskeys out there, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
It's good old marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for the price, for $1.50, I could probably buy three different bottles that I think are better.
Yeah.
For the same price as one bottle of Johnny Walker. Nothing against Johnny Walker. I like it. I actually like the Double Black. That one's pretty good. And that Spiced Road is you can only get it at the duty free. But that's a pretty good bottle too. But anyway, so Aaron, how's the first pairing working out for you? What do you think of the cigar, first of all? Let's talk about the cigar.
The cigar's really good. You know, it's got that little nipple at the end that you get to light, and it's always a crapshoot for me on those to determine whether you can just light the nipple and it will take off normally, or you just have to keep lighting and lighting until you get to the full ring gauge, and then it kind of goes like that. This one was no problem, just a quick light, and then it took off, and I didn't have to even break out the lighter one more time. So that's a great feature, but it's a really smooth cigar. I've had the Firethorn in other Vitolas, but this is the first time in the Coduelo setup. But it's really mellow, smooth, medium bodied, medium strength, it allows you to taste the bourbon. It's not overpowering, but it's able to cut through when you go back to the cigar. So it's got enough strength there to make that happen.
Yeah, it's got enough. I would agree with you. It's got enough strength of flavor to stand up to this Old Weller, which is pretty spicy, mm-hmm. in my opinion. It's not quite as smooth, but it almost reminds me of Booker's. If you've had Booker's, mm-hmm. the Booker's is whenever I think of a really strong spicy bourbon, that's what comes to mind. And this is almost like a slightly toned down version of that. It's not quite cask strength. I don't know what cask strength is anymore. It's like 63% or something like that. ABV. I'm not exactly sure, but it's definitely got a kick to it. I'm getting an interesting flavor from the cigar that I didn't get last time. It's kind of like it's got an almost like a sour flavor, sourness to it. Not in a bad way, but it's just kind of where it kind of hits the side of your tongue. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I don't know if you guys are getting the same experience, but I've never had that flavor before. I'm wondering if it's the bourbon that's bringing it out.
Yeah, I'm not getting the sourness, but I mean, we're drinking the same bourbon, so maybe just our...
Are you guys drinking that neat or on the rocks, or how are you guys drinking it?
I'm drinking it neat.
Neat, a little Glencairn. John scolds me if I don't use the Glencairn glasses.
Good man, John.
So I have like seven of them. I don't know where they all came from. I've never purchased one for myself. But nice. Somehow I ended up with seven of them.
That's where all my glasses end up, Rob's house.
Yeah, did you bring them all over? And the last time you came to my house, you did bring a bottle of whiskey.
I did.
And we went through like half of it that night. I think you had already gone by that time.
Yeah, I didn't even get to taste it.
No, we still have it. It's still here.
All right, maybe this year I'll get to taste it.
Yeah, but no, man, we kind of raged on it after you left. That was the Jameson... Caskmates or something like that.
Yeah.
That's aged in stout barrels, which is
right.
A pretty cool concept. And it does have a unique, almost chocolatey kind of flavor to it, which was interesting. But June, how's your pairing going?
It's good. I feel like the cigar itself is really smooth, like what Aaron was saying. I feel like it's just everything's really well balanced on the cigar. You know, there's no spikes in spice. You know, wood or creaminess, everything's really works really well together. And I wholly agree with what Aaron was saying about the nipple. You know, my nipple on the cigar lit up really well. So
it's almost like we had a pool to see how many times we could say nipple during the show.
That's right. Every time you nipple, you have to take a drink.
Yeah. It's what's that movie, Super Troopers, where he has to say meow like 27 times or something when he pulls the guy over. I too had the nipple lighting experience, although without going into too much detail, the nipple was a little bit longer on mine, I think, than yours, given the size cigar that I'm working with here. So
so moving on to this to the whiskey. So the whiskey is 18 years old, and I'm just reading this off of Suntory's website. It's telling me that the nose has raisin, apricot, cafe au lait, and Mizunara, which is a Japanese oak tree. And on the palate, I should get blackberry, strawberry jam, dark chocolate. So
how much of that are you getting?
I'm getting wood.
Settle down, June. Settle down.
Giggity.
I'm not getting Japanese wood, though. You know what I mean? Because this Mizunara, I'm not getting the Japanese oak. I'm getting more of a generic, you know, I can't really pinpoint the region of oak I'm getting. And then...
I'm losing it. Go ahead.
But I mean, I'm not as well versed in depicting flavors out of spirits as other people are. But I mean, yeah, I agree in the sense of, you know, I'm getting like a really ripe fruit to it. Perhaps the raisin that they're talking about and the apricot. Not getting cafe au lait, which is basically like what, coffee and cream, right? Coffee and milk. Yeah. Not sure if I'm getting that, but. There's definitely a really mild oak influence that is actually, when I smoke the cigar with it, it enhances both the cigar and the whiskey itself. So I'm getting more prominent wood off of the cigar and the wood notes that's off of the whiskey. So the pairing itself, I'm not sure if this is a good or bad thing, but I don't feel like it takes anything away from the cigar, nor does it take anything away from the whiskey. I could taste both of them equally, but I wouldn't say that they necessarily overall enhance each other.
I mean, it sounds like it's a pretty good pairing. John has gone into detail about Mizunara wood and the flavor that it imparts. If you're interested in that, go back and check out some of our Japanese whiskey episodes. I know John's probably listening right now. He couldn't, he's on location, so he couldn't be here, but he's probably scolding us for not doing proper research. John, I'll give him that, man. When he starts talking, and you've watched episodes before in the past, I'm sure, where John starts going off for 10, 15 minutes about the history of the water, where they get it from and all this, and I just read from the website. But he's pretty well-versed with that stuff. And I have had, and I can't remember which one it was, and maybe it was you're having Yamazaki 18, yeah?
Correct.
Maybe that's what the one that I had, where the Mizunara flavor was pretty prominent. You get that woody note, but it's a different kind of woody note. You're not getting a sherry. It's not American oak. It's definitely got a different kind of woody flavor to it.
Yeah, it's more of a lighter oak. I mean, I'm reading through some other whiskey websites out there, and it says, you know, this one's been aged in X bourbon cask, sherry, as well as, of course, the Mizunara. So I'm not getting a whole ton of sherry. I've had this whiskey many times before. And it usually when I'm drinking, I'm just drinking that without pairing anything. I definitely taste the sherry influence. But having the cigar with it, I'm not tasting much of the sherry.
Interesting. I'm a big fan of anything finished in sherry. Sherry casks, that imparts a flavor that I love. And that was one of the things I've learned from this show. I didn't realize that I was such a big fan of things finished in sherry casks. Unfortunately, nobody drinks sherry anymore. So
have you ever like tried sherry, like a couple of different variations of it?
I don't know that I've ever tried. I think we've had cooking sherry in the house, but that's about it.
I've tried one that I can't remember the name, but it was really good. Like it was very desserty. Like it was almost like kind of, I would liken it to a port or something like that, where it was kind of had that kind of a style.
But it's almost like syrupy,
but it still has that spice to it, right?
A little bit of that.
Interesting. I might have to look that up and just what I need is another, another way to spend money and fill up my bar.
Sherry connoisseur, you'd be the only one, but
it'd be fun though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll spearhead the comeback.
There you go.
So that we can make sure that there's casks lying around to age things in. Remind the audience you're listening to Sharing Our Pairings, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. I'm here with the guys from Developing Palettes. We're smoking the Firethorn in the Code Duello is what I'm going with. We actually have Robert Holt of Southern Draw cigars coming on Cigar Chat later this week. So he'll tell me exactly how to pronounce it, which will be a day too late, but so what. Sharing Our Pairings is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars. Worlds are the manufacturer of the world's finest cigars. Tried the new 93-rated Heritage cigar today. At your local shop, if you can't find it locally, you can get it just about everywhere online. But shop locally if you can. I think this pairing is pretty good with this Old Weller Antique 107. It's got enough spice to it where it really offers a difference of flavor from the cigar. There's not a lot of spice in the cigar. There's almost no spice in the cigar, really. It doesn't stand out if there is some. It's much more balanced, got more richness to it. There's some woody notes in there, some sweetness in there. And that sour note that I was getting is gone. So I think that that was just something weird. But the spice from this Old Weller and that little bit of fruitiness that's in there, I think that balances out well with the richness of the cigar. So it's a pretty good pairing. It's not blowing me away. I've had the Weller before. I've had the Firethorn before. I don't feel like either one of them is enhanced. But like June, like you were saying, I'm not losing anything from either one. So it's a pairing that I think they work well together without, you know, lifting the other up. I don't know. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, what I get from the Weller is I get a huge hit of vanilla up front.
Hmm.
And then after that, the heat just comes on, and it's a really, really long finish of heat for me. So you just kind of get that for a while, and then you're able to take the draw of the cigar, and you kind of get a little bit of the mix of the smoke and the heat, and that's kind of a nice sensation. But then typically for me, I'll take a few different draws before I go back to the drink. I just don't want to keep that power going. So it's cool to see the variations as you take, you know, consecutive draws before you kind of go back to the whiskey. So definitely interesting. But like, I agree with you. There's nothing that they're doing to help each other out, but they're just, you know, they're equal in their own parts.
Yeah, there's nothing outstanding about it, but it's good. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to be mad about. It's funny that you talk about how long and hot the finish is on this. And I remember the first time I had it, I brought it home. Dana was excited that I found it because, you know, once I told her that we had to find this, it became a mission. And that's my wife gets, she gets the horse blinders or whatever you put on the horses when they're running. She gets that. Tunnel vision is another way to say it. But so when I brought it home, she was excited. And the first thing we did, even before dinner, she just cracked it open and we had to taste it. And when I tasted it, I was like, whoa, that's hot. Like it's coming in hot. But having it today, it smooths out a little bit afterwards. And there is that sweetness. I you called it vanilla.
Yeah.
For me, I just kind of say it's almost like it's more of a sugar cane kind of sweetness to me, where it's has, I guess, vanilla tones to it, but it's a little bit more dull. I don't know if that's a good way to articulate it, but that's how it works out in my head anyway. And that balances out really well with the cigar. So we're a little bit past the halfway point. Let's jump into our next pairing here. June, what are you doing next?
So I'm going bourbon next. I'm having the Parker's Heritage Collection, of the Promise of Hope. So this guy came out in 2013 and I bought it at retail because it's not worth buying secondary. And this guy is 96 proof, and a little background of Parker's Heritage, the collection series. So this is when I get Surgeon, you know what I mean?
I do it.
So Surgeon, listen in, all right?
You drop knowledge right now.
So I'm just reading. I'll grab off the website that Heaven Hill Distillery, the master distiller, Parker Bean. So this is all an effort to aid in his kind of, so he got diagnosed with ALS a few years ago. I think he got diagnosed back in 2013 or so. So when that happened, he decided to go to his different barrels and pick out basically really special barrels. And off of each bottle of these, he's going to donate $20 off the bottle. So MSRP back then was, I believe, $90. So $20 off of that, projected to make about $250K to charity. And he was going to donate all these funds to the ALS Foundation of the Promise of Hope Fund. So, you know, pretty cool story. But in terms of the actual bourbon, I love this bourbon. I mean, it's when I drink this, and I typically do this when I'm not having cigars. So I'll start with something like Yamazaki 18, which I feel like is more nuanced and complex. And then I go to something like this Parker's. And in the bourbon world, I feel like this is probably one of the most balanced, like full of flavor kind of bourbons out there. So, you know, on the nose, I get so much of a distinctive fullness of like fruit and spice with oak influence. And when I taste it, I mean, all those flavors just jumps out at you that much more. It's almost like, for me, when I equate it to the cigar world, like I feel like I personally believe in my palate tastes like Aganorsa Corojo 99 to be that much more fuller in flavor and distinctiveness and character as compared to other Corojo wrappers that's out there. So that's kind of how I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of how I associate it.
Well, no, it totally makes sense. You think that that's the best representation of that particular leaf.
Yeah.
And that particular type of tobacco. And the same thing with this bourbon. It's to you, this is a almost a perfect representation of what bourbon should be.
Yeah.
If I'm understanding you correctly, which is
no, one of the best. I mean, I believe this one's 10 years old, 10 years age rather. But I mean, it's, I find bourbon, straight bourbon such as this, most of them have a bit of a bite to it as compared to a scotch.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what I do like about especially bourbon is the lack of peatiness and that smokiness you get, right? Which is why a lot of people don't like scotch in general, right? Because they don't like that peated smoky flavor. So when I want to enter that world, I always go straight bourbon. And it's almost like a nightcap kind of bourbon, a whiskey for me.
Awesome. Aaron, what are you doing for your second pairing?
So what I'm doing is I'm going with rye, and it's called the Wayward. And this is out of Santa Cruz, California. it's a pretty small spot in Santa Cruz. I got a friend that knows one of the owners there. And it's a really young rye. It's only aged 7 months in oak barrels. Certified organic, if that means anything to you. but it's a really young rye. But it's nice. June's tasted it. It's got like a kind of like a subtle orange marmalade flavor to it, which is nice. And it doesn't carry a lot of heat to it. It's 92 proof, so it's not as high as the Old Weller at 107. But so that heat's kind of dialed down a little bit, so you can kind of, you know, search out the flavors a little bit more. But it's something that I enjoy on occasion. Just because it's a very different profile because of the short aging. So you just, you know, you don't get a ton of the oak from the barrels in it. You just kind of get a, you know, just a, it's kind of a quick hit of flavor, and then a little bit of heat, and then it kind of goes away. So it's got a much shorter finish than the Weller. So, but it's a nice rye.
Interesting. I feel like we both should have done the Weller second. I feel like we went in the wrong direction.
Right.
I'm going with a Japanese whiskey here, and I'll show you the little bottle that John sent me again, where you can barely read his writing because it all rubbed off. This is the Taketsuru Pure Malt, which comes out of the Nikka Distillery in Japan. John has talked ad nauseum about Nikka because we've featured a lot of their stuff, and it's kind of amazing when you really start to pull back the curtain on these whiskeys. How many of them come from the same place?
Yeah.
You know? And it's, you could even say the same thing about cigars too. Once you start really looking in and paying attention where the tobacco is coming from, you start to realize it's coming from, you know, a handful of places for the most part. Mm-hmm. with a little bit of info on the Takatsuru. It's 43% ABV, so 86 proof. 43% is pretty standard for Japanese whiskey, at least that's what I've seen. It's a blended whiskey named in the honor of Masataka Takatsuru, who we've talked about an awful lot. He's the father of Japanese whiskey. He's the first Japanese who mastered whiskey making in Scotland and produced genuine whiskey in Japan. So I know John has talked about his history, and this guy's a big deal. He's a big deal. And most of it, let's see, the doesn't say are the two distilleries that, or this comes from the Yochi and Miyagikyo distilleries, it looks like. The blends come from there. And there's not a ton of information on their website. You can look it up here. It's nikka.com. It's N-I-K-K-A. And you can find the Takatsuru. There's the pure malt. There's a pure malt 17. There's a pure malt 21. This is just the regular no-age statement pure malt. And it's actually quite tasty. And this is what gets me right here off the top when I go to I'm looking at mastersofmalt.com for a little bit more information. They have it for about $52 a bottle. So I imagine if I go and I find a bottle of this, it's probably going to cost me about 65 in our area, I would guess, which isn't too bad for, something of this quality. Let's see. It features plenty of whiskey from, the Miyagikyo distillery, as well as a percentage of malt, matured in sherry casks, boom, to give it a rich spice nose. And that's what they say on the nose, sherry soaked plums. I mean, when I think of whiskey and scotch and Japanese whiskey, that's what I think of. That's that flavor that I want. And it's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's right there. This is the kind of thing I would, if I was in a store and they were doing a tasting, I wouldn't even have to taste it to want to buy a bottle of this stuff. Just give me the nose and boom, I'm in. So the nose, they say sherry soaked plums, raisins, and green apple slices, honeyed cereal, black pepper, and a hint of barrel char. That's a lot going on in there. The palate, they say espresso beans, milk chocolate, tobacco leaf. Let that linger there for a second. Mm-hmm. And lingering sherried fruits. There's a slight touch of smoke as it develops. Now, there's a little bit of smoke in there, not a lot. But I definitely get a ton of that sherried character, and I just freaking love it. There's something about that flavor that's just so – it's like comforting to me. It's kind of weird to say that, but it has kind of a comfort food kind of flavor to it to me. So far, the pairing's going pretty well. I'm going to jump back to June here because you've had the most time to work on your second pairing. How's the second pairing going?
It's going well. So just off of the bourbon, I'm getting just all sorts of kind of different kind of sweetness. So like caramel, like almost like a burnt sugary aspect to it. Like maple syrup, but of course without the consistency of maple syrup. So I'm getting mainly a lot of those like really sweet characters. And on the finish, I especially noticed a burn being not too overly harsh. It's not like a real stinging burn like that you probably get with that 107 Weller.
Yeah.
but it's really, because I feel like when I drink bourbon, I want some type of burn. If I don't have any kind of burn, I feel like I should be drinking, I don't know, freaking vodka or something. But you feel
like you need to earn it. You got to earn it a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Put some hair on your chest, even though I have none. I feel like this is, when I smoke a cigar with it, the cigar tastes perhaps a little bit more like bready and like sweet kind of breadiness to it that I'm picking up off of pairing this. Not a lot, but very subtle. But I prefer the other pairing just because I feel like, you know, one doesn't negate the other. Whereas this, I feel like, you know, the bourbon is more dominant on my palate. So, yeah.
Okay. So you got to put some hair on your chest is what you're telling me. That's what I got from that.
It doesn't work. Bro.
It was hard for me to stop.
It doesn't work.
It's like you can't say nipple without smiling. We've discussed that. We've discovered it. So
no hair.
Aaron, how's that rye working out?
It's good. That orange marmalade sweetness goes well with the cigar. This is a better pairing than with a Weller, because the cigar has like a, when I, at least when I have it with this this rye, it's got like an aged woodiness to it that really mixes well with that kind of orange sweetness. So there's a good interplay between the cigar and the rye. So I would definitely say that this is the better of the pairing out of the two for my options. So, but it's very good.
When you start talking about orange marmalade and like an aged woody kind of flavor, I start thinking about a Manhattan.
There you go.
That sounds like your that rye would make a sweet Manhattan, or old fashioned too.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty legit. I almost went with a rye today. Dana likes rye. That's one thing that we've discovered over the last few years. And, we picked up a bottle of the Angel's Envy rye, which, I'm not a big fan of their whiskey, but, their rye is really good. And I almost grabbed that. It's just, it's a little bit expensive, so I left it there, and it's my wife's. So it is funny. So, like I told her we did a show before, and she had some, Willett, 7-year, estate rye that was given to her as a gift. And I asked her if I could use a little bit for the show. She said, "You don't have to ask me. You can just use whatever you want." But I think if she came home and I'm walking in from doing the show and I have that bottle in my hand, I think I might get a look.
Right.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. I think it would go over, but I think I'd, you know, I'm better off just asking. But I do think that a rye would pair really well with this, because that little bit of spice, and I'm starting to get a little bit more spice, and I'm probably right about the midpoint of this cigar. I'm starting to, the spice is starting to build up a little bit on the palate a little bit. So
I'm getting a lot more spice through the retrohale, especially.
Yeah, that too. Absolutely. And I'm also getting a bit of a chocolatey kind of sweetness that I wasn't getting before at all. And I think that's more of a product of the pairing that I've got here. So just to go back, I am pairing with the Takatsuru Pure Malt, no age statement. And this is a fantastic whiskey. It's clean. It's got that sherried spice, but it's got that stewed fruit in there as well. There's a little bit of sweetness, that kind of sugarcane type of sweetness I was talking about earlier. This one's a bit more vanilla, like you were saying before, Aaron. It's more on that vanilla note for me, which is almost a spicy sweetness, you know. And it's the pairing that goes right into it. That sweetness and spice kind of linger on the palate. And you jump in, you take a puff of the cigar, and I'm getting that richness, which has been there the whole time for me. This is a very rich cigar. It's not a lot of spice, but it's starting to pick up a little bit. And there's that an interesting, like, powdered cocoa, not super syrupy chocolate, but, you know, like, I don't know how else to call it, but like a powdered cocoa that's on there that really does pair nicely. This pairing is miles ahead of where we were with the Weller, and the old Weller wasn't a bad pairing. It's just, mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot more complementary things happening here, and there's a lot more give and take with the flavor. And I it's funny, Aaron, you had mentioned earlier that you find yourself puffing on the cigar a couple of times before you take a sip of your bourbon. And I usually do that too, but for some reason I want to keep going back to this whiskey, and like, it's not a double puff type situation. I almost want to take a couple of sips of the whiskey and then jump back in because the flavor of it is so good. But I feel like they do kind of prop each other up a little bit.
Yeah, when the pairing goes well, I think you'll be more apt to be like a 1-to-1 ratio. So mm-hmm.
That's probably a good way to think about it. And I haven't even, I saw you take a sip of water a second ago, and I realized I haven't really even touched my water. And normally, if I'm pairing with a whiskey or a bourbon, I'll have water, and I tend to go through the water pretty quickly. I've been taking a sip here and there just to kind of clean the palate, but nothing is lingering too much. Nothing's too heavy on the palate, which is great from my standpoint as far as a pairing is concerned, because it can keep going. It's not something where it's like, oh, I need to lay off this whiskey because it's too much. It's lingering too much or whatever. It's not blowing anything out. I feel like I could, you know, fire up another cigar and get another, I've still got another pour in here. I could, you know, have the second pour and be good to go. I think this type of cigar, And I mean, I'm curious to see what you guys think just in general about pairing. This type of cigar, I feel, is the perfect kind of cigar to pair with. I feel like we could take this in a lot of different directions. I mean, I feel like we could pair it with an IPA if we wanted to, or a porter or a stout or like a coffee brown ale or something. Or you could pair it with coffee, or we could pair it with rum, or you can pair it with, I don't know if there's really anything that pairs super well with a heavily peated whiskey, but I feel like just about anything is going to pair well with this. Just based on,
it's got that kind of middle road for flavor and for strength. So yeah, I agree with you.
It's balanced.
Yeah, it's balanced, and it can really go in any direction that you want to go, like you said.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's very, the cigar is really versatile.
That's the word I was looking for. Damn it.
You're welcome.
College education. There you go.
But with my experience, I mean, granted, I don't do a lot of pairings. For instance, you know, when I'm drinking spirits, wine or beer, I'm only doing that. I don't even like to pair food with wine or any of that stuff. So I'm more of a standalone purebred kind of a person. Same goes with cigars. But with this guy, you know, in the whiskey world, because I basically went from something that was very nuanced and complex, and something that's, you know, a notch above in terms of strength and body and all that. And it did pretty well for both of it. I don't know about beer, because I feel like, especially when I'm drinking beer and having cigar, especially when I get to the heavier stuff like the porters, the stouts, and, you know, especially with throwing bourbon barrel aged, you know, stouts or porters, the body of the cigar gets really lost for me. And it's really hard for me to gauge that. And I really dislike that. I mean, how can you compare a really thick, syrupy barrel-aged stout to any body of a cigar? You can't. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I've learned on the show. We've still got a few minutes before. We kind of fell into, we have three guys on the show, which normally it's just John and I. And if it's just John and I, we'll do three pairings. And I thought, okay, well, we'll just do two. And I think I'm glad that we just did two, because we would have had to cram our third one in. I've come around on the fact that I don't think there's much out there that you can really pair with barrel-aged any kind of beer. Mm-hmm. There's just, the flavor is just so overpowering. And I'm actually kind of, I don't know, losing my taste for barrel-aged beers.
That is blasphemy.
It's blasphemy. It's, well, I don't know. I mean, there's certain barrel aged beers that I will drink. I could drink every day, like KBS. I could drink that all the time. And June, you are one of the few people who's told me that don't age your KBS. Don't age it. Drink it, you know, within the first 6 months or so. And I still have. I kept a couple from the 2014. Because have they done 2016? No, it was 2015.
Yeah,
it was 15 because they come out in April. So I had some 2015 and I kept it for about a year, and then I got some 2016 and I had them side by side, and there's a distinct difference, and it's not a good thing.
Right. Now, if you had only 2015 this year, you probably thought, and I think you did in the beginning, you only had a 15, if I remember.
That was the only one that I had had. And yeah, we actually, and you were thinking,
and I remember you saying that you liked it, right?
I did like it. Yeah.
But when you had the 16, I personally think that you lose so much of that coffee. And in general, if it's a bourbon barrel-aged stout that is especially brewed with vanilla, coconut, or coffee, even if you cellar it properly, you lose out on it super fast.
It's true.
It's not worth it.
It's true. Especially like vanilla. Somebody was telling me that if you have something that's barrel-aged and it's got vanilla and they use vanilla bean, you want to have it within the first 2 years. After 2 years, you really start to lose that vanilla. If it's a vanilla extract, it's going to hang around a little bit longer. I don't really have anything that I've aged for 2 years. I'm cellaring at the proper temperature. That's okay. Sitting at 10 degrees Celsius. So it's about, what, 49 freedom degrees. John makes everything freedom. This, I don't know. I still have some Bourbon County from last year, and I cracked one open on my birthday on the September 22nd because it was bottled September 22nd, 2015. I just thought it was kind of cool to do that. It hasn't gotten much better.
Wait, which one? Are you talking about the regular, the non-variant Bourbon County?
The regular, yeah.
Oh.
From last year. I don't know. It was just kind of unimpressive. Yeah. I have a barley wine, which I know most of the barley wines were infected. I had two bottles or three bottles of the barley wine. I opened one right when I got it, and I thought it was great. But I still got two more of them in there. I haven't opened those. But, I mean, and then what else that's barrel-aged that sticks out? A Prairie Bomb. I don't want any of the variants of that. All the variants that I've had of Prairie Bomb are just, it's like they took a really good beer and did unnecessary stuff to it.
Yeah.
Although I do have the birthday, which I haven't tried yet. But when I say all the variants that I've tried, the only one I've had is a Christmas Bomb. And last year's Christmas Bomb, I thought was awful. It tasted like they soaked it in a dirty sock or something like that. It's like, why? You don't need to do that. The beer is awesome on its own. But I know some people who just love the different variants. But we're not really here to talk about beer. We've got about 2 minutes left, about a minute and a half. Give everybody an idea of what Developing Palates is all about. That's your website. And where they can find you guys.
Sure. Developing Palates is mainly about getting two points of view on a cigar. So when we do reviews, we're both reviewing the same cigar. And we don't talk about it until after we've reviewed it. And then we do a video recap. And we kind of chat about our experience with the cigar. And then that's our opportunity to really talk about, you know, what we got, kind of the differences between our palates, and kind of just our overall experience and what we found, to be able to kind of add to it rather than just being a duplicate of what we do in the written reviews. But it just gives us a real chance to kind of maybe dig a little deeper into the blend or comparisons between that cigar and other cigars, either from the same company or other cigars that are maybe, you know, in a similar realm. But also to try, you know, different stuff, different scoring system, try to add a value component with like a cost per point value and things like that. So it is really a site for fun. That's kind of the reason we started it. But just to try a bunch of different stuff that's not really being done in the kind of the cigar review industry right now. So just to throw a bunch of stuff out there, see what people like, see what people don't like, and then determine what we want to keep doing and things like that.
So it's ever evolving. I like that.
Exactly. And we're going to be doing a bunch of different stuff at the end of the year as well. That's kind of just, you know, different from what, you know, other people do at the end of the year with their, you know, cigar of the year lists and things like that. So we'll try a bunch of new stuff as well. So we'll see how that goes over.
Cool. Well, thanks for taking the time, guys. I appreciate it. You can find them at developingpalates.com and at developingpalates everywhere else.
Right.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. John will be back next week, I hope. And the show just goes so much. It's so much easier for me when he's hosting. I don't have to think. I just kind of sit here, drink, and smoke. It's great. But we'll be back next week, same time. And we'll do all of our football picks and everything and all that great stuff. So thanks for tuning in. Everybody out there in the armed forces, I say this every week. You guys are built to do something I'm not built to do. And I have nothing but respect for you guys, and you put your life on the line to fight for our freedoms around the world. I hope that you were able to have an hour and hang back with us and at least laugh every time we said nipple. And everybody have a great week. Stay safe, and we'll catch you next week. And you can find us at CigarFederation.com. All right, so that's the end of our Armed Forces Radio segment. We're still live, but you can say shit, bitch, cock, balls, whatever you want. I fucking hate my neighbor's dog. I work from home, so I'm around all the time. And if I think about going outside, he starts barking. And the way that my backyard is, there's a neighbor on the far side. There's a neighbor behind me. And they both have dogs. And whenever my dogs go outside, it's like they're attacked by barking on both sides. I feel bad for them. It's like, hey, we were here first.
Right.
And I mean, again, my dogs aren't perfect, but they don't bark at the neighbors. They bark at people who come to the house, and they bark at the mailman they're cliches, but oh God. Anyway,
when did they move in? That was vacant for a while, no?
It was, yeah. It's one of them's been kind of rotating, but and remember they knocked down the fence while we were at IPCPR.
Yeah,
that was fun. My wife sends me a picture of these two wolves in my backyard. They're not my dogs. And the dogs, I mean, they're just being dogs, but it's not their fault. But I mean, you can train them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be a good dog owner and train them to not do stuff like that. But anyway,
I got a question for you guys.
Lay it on me.
On tasting whiskey. So how do you guys taste whiskey?
How do we taste whiskey?
And the reason I bring this up, because I went to this, you know, mom and pop distillery in Sebastopol, like a few hours north of us.
Mm-hmm.
The lady basically gave me a full blown lesson because she apparently saw that I wasn't tasting it right.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll speak for myself. I've never really gone to a whiskey tasting event. John does them all the time. I've never really done anything like that. Our local spots in June and Aaron, you shop at the same places that I go to. They don't really do that kind of thing. And if they do, it's an event that I don't know about. So if I'm trying a whiskey for the first time, usually if I'm having whiskey, I'm having that whiskey. I'm not like tasting a bunch of different ones. But I nose it. I'll take a sip of it. And that's really all I do. I don't really do anything special. I don't roll it around my mouth and do anything like spit it out like it's wine or anything like that. Aaron, do you have a specific way that you taste whiskey?
Not really a specific way, but similar to you. You know, I'll nose it first. As soon as I pour it, I'll nose it, and then I'll let it sit for a little bit, and then I'll nose it again just to kind of see if there's any difference at that level. Like once it's got a little oxygen to it and it's settled down a little bit. But when I taste it, I try it two different ways. One is I'll take the sip and I'll keep my mouth closed, you know, as soon as I get the liquid in, just to try to get the flavors there. Because I find when I do it the second way is I'll take the sip and then I'll open my mouth right away. When I open my mouth right away, you get that heat and that burn pretty quick. So when you keep your mouth closed, at least for me, I'm able to taste a little bit more of the nuance from the whiskey at that point. So I try it both ways just to kind of see what the different aspects are. But I tend to get a better experience when I kind of keep my mouth closed and try to keep it in my mouth a little bit to get those flavors. So that's really the only way I do it.
All right, June, tell us everything we're doing wrong.
No, you guys are doing vast majority of what I was doing. And, you know, the nosing is nosing, right? Like you draw in through your nose and either short bursts or longer draws. And you get a sense of what you're smelling. But the lady that was helping me, so when I went to the actual tasting part, she realized a couple of things. So I'm used to aerating the alcohol when I'm drinking, especially wine and beer.
Yeah, I do that with wine. It big time.
Right. And she said, you should never do that with whiskey because when you do that, kind of like what Aaron was saying, it invites ethanol into your mouth.
Hmm.
A lot more of that alcohol content.
Burn. Yeah.
And then she also said, after you swallow the whiskey, you should always blow out air out of your mouth. And she said that'll take out a lot of the ethanol and that alcohol that nobody wants to really taste, and it'll really give you more flavor characteristics of the whiskey.
Huh.
So now that I've done that, I could get a better sense of flavors and especially finish without having that alcohol taste dominate so much.
So when you say blow the air out of your mouth, is it like an over demonstrative type of thing, or you're just kind of
just like you're breathing out? Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So, yeah. When you say it all makes sense, right? Like it's like if you're nosing a glass of wine, you get different things depending on where you're nosing it. If you're nosing way up above, if your nose is in the glass,
right,
you're going to get more tannins. I think it's more tannins if you're up way up above it, something to that effect. But it's a different experience, and it's the same thing with whiskey or beer or anything like that.
You
get more of that alcohol type flavor, and that does make sense. I've never thought of it.
Yeah, it definitely helps me to pick you know, whatever I'm drinking in the spirits world. But I just, it was almost like second nature, man. Like when, especially, I mean, I don't drink a lot of wine anymore, but you know, I do drink quite a bit of craft beer. And I mean, you being such a craft beer guy too, like aerating is a big part of it for me. Right. Like
I've never aerated a beer.
Oh, I do it all the time. It's almost like when we retrohale cigars.
Yeah.
And when I breathe out of my nose, when I'm drinking beer and wine, while the, you know, beer and wine is inside my mouth, I pick out so much more.
Huh. I've never,
I don't know if it's like just some mental weird thing, but you know.
No, I mean, it's whatever works for you. I mean, it doesn't make it right or wrong, but I always do that with wine. And like, you know, right. I'll take a sip, and then I, through like clenched lips, really, you kind of suck in just a little bit of air. So it's kind of bubbling right in the front. And I always do that with wine, but, I've never really done that with anything else. But I've never had anybody pull me aside and say, "Hey, this is how you taste whiskey." And that kind of bums me out. I wish I would have done that.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm curious to talk to John about it. I'm sure John knows way more than I do about it.
John was watching for a little while. And he sent a message saying that you guys are doing a great job. So he was very complimentary.
Oh.
He'll tell me what he really thinks later, but he was publicly very complimentary of the show.
Well, he's always going to be nice anyways.
Yeah. He's going to be nice, and he's going to apologize about it. No, John's a great guy. But I've done shockingly little spirit tasting. Dana and I went to the Craft Spirits Festival in San Francisco a couple of times. That happens in September. We just missed it. And they do it out at Fort Mason. And it's just this big, you've been out to Fort Mason, one of the hangars out there, and it's just a ton of different things. That was where we first tasted the Angel's Envy Rye. And it was pretty good. They had a gin there that was aged in bourbon barrels. So it was kind of brown. It was really interesting. And we went and did some tasting when we were in Portland. We went out to Cannon Beach, which is a lot like Carmel, which Carmel is more local to us, but Cannon Beach is where they film some of the Goonies. And you know, when they look through the bloom with the big rock that's out in the water, right. that's at Cannon Beach. And they had, I think it's just Cannon Beach Distillery is what they're called. And we went in and did some tasting, and it's all, they had, everything was all clear spirits. They had gins, and they had a white rum, and I despise white rum. I think white rum is kind of stupid unless you're putting it in something. I mean,
it's a mixer. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to drink it on my own, but we tasted their white rum at room temperature, and it was great. It was surprisingly flavorful, and they had two different kinds of gins, and I'm really coming around on gin. That herbal juniper berry flavor really is something that I enjoy. And we bought a bottle of their gin, which was a half size bottle, so 350 milliliters, I think, or 375 or whatever the hell it is, and a full size bottle of their rum because it was so good. They had a dark rum, which I guess was aged. It wasn't aged long; it was aged a couple months, and it didn't have quite the same flavor, but it was quite tasty. But he didn't really direct us in how to taste it. It was just here's a little bit, drink it, and if you want it, buy it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was
maybe it's because I was the only one there, and she's all like, "Well," she immediately looked at me. She's like, "You're not tasting whiskey right," and I was like, "Oh,
boom!
All right, listen, bitch." I was like, "All right, never mind. How can I do this?"
She pulled no punches. She's like, "Dude, you're stupid."
Yeah,
that's pretty funny. Much. We were actually the only people in there when we went to, we did. We left with a couple of bottles, and they were pretty reasonably priced. And everything they made was like, it's all hand numbered on the bottle and everything, which is, I think that's kind of cool when you have something that's craft like that. But no, I'll keep that in mind when I taste whiskey or anything in the future. Whiskey's so tough, man. Cause I see stuff that I want, especially you go to Costco, right? Like we talked about, and they've got this little aisle and I don't know, 30 bottles maybe of scotch and bourbon whiskeys, Japanese whiskeys, things of that nature. And it's like, I want to buy all this stuff, but I've never tasted any of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they've
you know what I do is I'll stand there and I'll take out my phone and I'll try to Google some reviews on it.
Absolutely. I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done the same thing. But they've even got like their Kirkland brand,
right?
Like a 20-year scotch,
mm-hmm.
and it's like $65 for the bottle or something like that. I'm thinking that's way too cheap for a 20-year aged scotch. And I looked up, and you can find the distillery that it comes out of, and I can't remember which one it is. But go ahead, Aaron. What were you going to say?
Yeah, Trader Joe's does, I think, a similar thing where they have kind of that house brand. And I'm always kind of like on the fence about whether I want to pull the trigger on it or not. You know, it's from a named distillery.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good. You're just thinking like, it's the store brand. So maybe not, but it's just a mental thing, I think, that kind of holds me back from pulling the trigger on it.
Well, also, with bourbon, it's so batch determined by batches. You go to these like websites, and yeah, they disclose whatever batch number that they're reviewing. But from one batch to another, you get on these forums, and I lurk on various whiskey forums. I never post because I really don't have anything to contribute. But I read them, and I'm like, people are like, "Oh, batch 5 is really good," and they're like, "Oh, I just picked up batch 6," and then everyone's like, "No, batch 6 is shit." I'm like, "Well, you wouldn't know that typically, right? Like, I wouldn't."
No, the average person wouldn't. But I think if you're buying something that says batch 6 on it, you probably know. You're at least paying for it.
Right.
That would be my guess.
Because by then, if it's a good bourbon, good whiskey in general, it already has some fame to it. And then typically, distiller is going to, profit on it. So
one thing I can say, that the Kirkland, I think it was like a 14-year or 12-year, 12-year or 14-year whiskey, Scotch whiskey. And my mother-in-law bought a bottle of it to have up there because she's a sweetheart. And she knows that I like Scotch, so she would have a bottle of that for Christmas or whatever whenever we're there visiting. And that was pretty good. And I think it's like $40 a bottle or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So for the price, it was phenomenal. Is it going to compare to something like the Takatsura Pure Malt? Probably not, but a slightly different beast. But it's tough because they're never going to do any tastings or anything. You just kind of have to buy it on faith or look up some reviews or something like that. But
yeah.
Anyway, so we can barely see June anymore because it's getting dark out. So we'll wrap it up. But guys, I appreciate on short notice coming on and being guests, and hopefully we can do it again. Yep. It'd be fun to do a show with you guys and with John. So he can be really, really polite and tell us how wrong we are.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. But guys, I appreciate it. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. Wherever you download us from for your podcasts on Podbean or iTunes or whatever, give us an upvote, up thumbs, and leave a feedback and let us know what you want to see, what you want to hear on the show. You can email me, rob@cigarfederation.com. If you have any questions or show ideas, stuff that you want to see us talk about. Really do appreciate it. You can find us at cigarfederation.com. You can find them at developingpalates.com. And we'll be back next week. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you at cigarfederation.com.